Well, praise the name of the Lord. He's good all the time. He is good all the time. Hallelujah. Let's just say this out loud. I think sometimes you just need to speak some things out loud. We know that there is power in what we say, right? And I want you just to speak this and agree with me. Just say, I see.
I know.
And I obey. The Spirit of God. Say, I see.
I know.
And I obey. The Spirit of God. Say it one more time. Say, I see.
I know.
I obey.
The Spirit of God.
Amen. You are going to get better and better and better at learning to hear His voice. And you will stop turning Him off and talking yourself out of it. Right? You're going to do that. Amen? We are doing it. Hallelujah. All right. So this morning, the Lord just really dropped in my heart to, and I don't know if this is a series, we'll see. Sometimes I know and sometimes I don't. So we're just going to start right here. I felt like that as a pastor, I needed to just share with you and bring a little bit of encouragement and instruction regarding yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, how many in here, when you're driving and getting on a highway, you start getting on that ramp, and if it's really full of traffic, and you are close to White Plains, or you're close to the city, or close to any city, how many of you start to feel a little bit anxious? Anybody in here? You get on that entrance ramp, you're on the Bronx River, you're on 287, you know, and the semi-tractor trailers are going flying by at 70 miles an hour, and it just seems like there's a lot going on, right, Jenna?
Yeah.
I mean, and you just, you get in your car and you're like, I got to get on this thing, right? Well, yielding is a really interesting concept in driving. But there's a lot of applications, spiritually speaking, and we're going to unpack a little bit of that today. But let's go before the Father. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Father God, that you desire to speak to your people. And to supernaturally lead and guide us so that we experience the fullest life that we could possibly have on this side of heaven if we'll just learn to obey and listen to that still small voice. And so, Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, that it's adjusting us, helping us, encouraging us to continue on in our race in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. And we are going to go tell you right now. Hallelujah. Isn't God good all the time? I am so excited about what God is doing in our midst. He is speaking. He is just searching our hearts and really, really helping us to position us to the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Here we go. So am I looking for my notes? Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, praise God. First, I want to read a real quick quote from Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you know who Corrie Ten Boom is?
Yes.
All right. She's famous for hiding the Jewish people in Amsterdam during the Holocaust. Her and her family, just an amazing testimony. And she was on TBN for many years. She was very involved in ministry, I've shared with you some of the stories of forgiveness, even forgiving the prison guard who was responsible for her sister's death. Just such amazing power of forgiveness. But she says this. She says, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look inside, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. You will be at rest. When we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, it changes our perspective about everything. Because now we have something on the inside that is that supernatural power that puts us over every single time. If we will learn the value of walking with Him daily in those supernatural moments, we will see God do just stunning things that just surprise us. And He will confirm what He's saying to you through His Word, and He will confirm it sometimes through those signs, wonders, and miracles that He brings about in your situation. I believe He's doing that right now, even in our church. We've been for months and months praying and believing God that God would fill every chair and every space in this house with new faces, new friends, right? New families, and that there would be new finances and there would be a new facility. We've been praying that. We've been speaking that. God send them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And some of them are hooked up online and some of them are right here. And we're continuing to pray that. We're seeing it. Amen? Praise God. We continue to pray that way. But in Romans chapter 8, the Word of God speaks to us about being a child of God or listening to the voice of the Lord. And it says, all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when we look at that verse, and we're just going to go ahead and see it right there. Yeah, it's Romans 8:13, sorry. 14, excuse me, 8:14. All right, here we go. And I'm going to read out of the New King James first, then I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation to give it a little bit of a little bit more of a understanding for us, okay? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, verse 14, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, I always like to read a little bit before a verse as well. So I want us now to jump up to verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing here in the book of Romans. He's telling us some really important truths that I think sometimes we miss teaching along these lines. We miss teaching along the lines of actually saying no to our flesh, and that there is a suffering when you say no to your flesh. How many of you know that when you're hungry and you tell your body you're fasting, that there is a certain suffering that goes with that? Okay? Well, that's easy to say when it comes to meals, but it is also easy to say when it comes to sinful behaviors. That when we say no to our flesh still wants to go do those things. So what we need to do is learn to listen to the Holy Spirit so that He will keep us out of those situations He'll walk us through those valleys and give us victory. All right? So when we're looking at that, I'm going to read now out of the Passion Translation, and I'm going to begin in verse 12. It says this: "So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it." To what? To our flesh. We don't have to live according to what our flesh wants. That message is not really truly being taught, right? Not in abundance, because what ends up happening is everything gets all twisted and contorted, and people think, "Oh, you're just preaching legalism." No, I'm preaching actual lordship of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to make him Lord? That's what we say in Romans 10, 9, and 10. We confess him what? As Lord. That means he gets to call the shots even when I want to call the shots. Right? I want to. My body wants to. Right? And, you know, even just natural things. You have a job, right? You need to get paid. You need to eat. You need to work. And so what happens is, when that alarm goes off at 5:45, right? When that alarm goes off, 5:30, 5:45, what is it for you? 5 a.m. For Sister Ava. When that alarm goes off, your body wants to sleep. That's what your body wants to do. But your mind, will, and emotions, your soulless realm says, "But I want to eat. And I want to have a paycheck." So what do? You suffer. Am I right? You suffer because you know it's the right thing to do. Now, in our walk with God, listen what he continues on to say in this translation, okay? It says this: "For when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But the life of the Spirit," listen, church, "the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh. When then we taste his abundant life." Oh, glory to God. When you say no to your flesh and yes to God, you taste of his goodness. There might be a suffering in the flesh for that moment, for that time, but you start to taste of his goodness. You draw closer to God and you're like, "Tell me more." Now listen to what verse 14 says. "The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into fear of never being good enough. But you received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words under tender affection, 'Beloved Father.' For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our inmost being, 'You are God's beloved child.'" Glory to God. Now, what does this have to do with yielding to God? Well, last week, we experienced a move of the Spirit. And what did that look like? Well, it looked like in worship, got a little more extended. Maybe a lot more extended, right? Right? And God began to speak some things. And it wasn't just one person, right? And remember the week before, when some of you got little bits and pieces in that quiet moment? What was that? That was the impulses of the Holy Spirit speaking and whispering to you. When Avril had the dream about our church being full of people, right? That was an impulse of the Holy Spirit that he downloaded to her even while she slept. We're a supernatural bunch. Say, "I see."
I see.
Say, "I hear."
I hear.
"And I obey." The Holy Spirit.
Now,
I'm telling you, in the moment when God gives you something to do, your flesh doesn't always want to do it. Remember me? I didn't want to turn around. They don't know me. They're going to think I'm weird. What's this guy doing? Why has he driven by three times and finally turned around and he stopped to say hi? Right? But what is that? You see, our flesh doesn't always, we'll talk ourselves out of it. We'll say, is it me? Is it the devil? Or is it the Holy Spirit? Is that, are those the questions you ask yourself? Now, get back on the highway. Get back on the highway now. You're getting ready to merge. What do you have to do? What do you have to do to merge? Ron, what do you have to do? To merge, to get on that entrance ramp, what do you got to do?
Put your signal on and accelerate.
Okay, put your signal on and accelerate. Put the gas on, right? What is that? That is action. I think sometimes people think when the Holy Spirit is moving that he comes along and he grabs us and he makes us dance. He makes us run. He makes us speak in other tongues. He makes us do something. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He will never make you do anything. He'll let you sit there and watch everybody pass you by just like those cars on the highway. And if you've ever seen somebody who's brand new at driving in thick traffic, 9 times out of 10, you will see them stop at the end of the entrance ramp. And then they have no idea how to get up to speed. And they're looking for that break in the traffic, right? Well, listen, when you yield, it does not mean stop. Just say that out loud with me. Say, yielding does not mean stop. And when we think about, you know, and Pastor Christine was just exhorting us about, you know, listen, God's speaking to us. He is, right? And you are obeying, and you do see, and you do sense him. And God, he's saying, be still and know me. Being still and knowing me is a posture of readiness. It's a posture of, Ron, I'm putting the gas on, and my indicator is saying I'm going in that direction because that's the direction the Holy Spirit is going in. Last week in our service, right, the Holy Spirit's direction kind of came back and forth between Pastor Christine and me and then the Jacksons with the youth. Did you see that? And there was it was an ebb and a flow, but it was also a bing, 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 wasn't it? If you haven't had a chance, go back and look at the video because it was bing, 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 bing. It was, and God was among us doing supernatural work because we're a supernatural people. We're a word people. We're a faith people, but we're a supernatural people. So when you're getting on the highway, you put the gas on, you're driving your spiritual car, you got your indicator on, I'm going in that direction. I'm going to follow the plan of God for my life. I'm going to follow, not just going to, I am following because why? I have my foot on the gas. I'm moving. I'm moving. Say, I'm moving. Say, I'm moving with the Lord. I'm not sitting. I didn't put the brakes on. All right. So now if you're out there and you're watching and you're like, oh man, I don't know about all this tongue stuff and this supernatural stuff. What's he talking about? Don't put the brakes on. Okay, just give it a little gas. Let the Holy Spirit show you from his word that it's what he's trying to say. So as I was preparing for this, the Holy Spirit told me three things that it takes to yield to him. And those are three things that it takes for you and me to yield to the Holy Spirit. The first thing that it takes is humility. Humility. It takes an understanding of who we are. Humility and understanding that it is it's who, you know, that it's him, that we are submitting our will underneath him. We're submitting our will. Our flesh might want to do something else, right? Right? Because listen, a lot of people in our world are controlled by the flesh, even Christians, right? And even at moments, you've done it. You've let your flesh control you, all right? So we want to be guided by those impulses of the Holy Spirit. So we know Him. We see Him. We obey Him. Say, I see the Holy Spirit. Say, I know the Holy Spirit. I obey the Holy Spirit. You see, in order to do that, that actually has to do with submission, that humility. And so the word that I'm actually looking for you to look to, three words, submission. Now, that's a really hard word, because it could be a really negative word. But when you understand that submission is not forced, ever. It's not forced. Submission is what Jesus did on the cross, submitting to the will of the Father. It is a consecration, not my will, but yours be done. Submission is never forced. That's not submission. That's, for lack of a better term, that's coercion and terrorism, when you're forced. Submission, God offers us, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you what? Rest. Submission is, I'm going to take my will and put it underneath yours, because you know better. That's lordship, and that's what we're talking about. So, now I want you to get the picture. I haven't forgotten about our car illustration. You're in your car. You're on 287. You're trying to merge from 684. And you want to head across the Tappan Zee. And Cuomo Bridge, whatever. Okay, so we still call it the Tappan Zee, don't we? So we're trying to get across, right? We're trying to go this way. And we're going to head west. And there's so much traffic. But listen. Submission means that you have power under control. Submission is, I have my foot on the gas. It's my will. Whether I stop, whether I gun it, I have the control, don't I? So if you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit, church, I want you to get this. If you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit, it does take giving God something to work with, but it is your choice. God does not force you to speak in tongues. He does not grab your tongue out of your mouth and make you speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues and praying in other tongues has to do with your will when you turn it on or turn it off. And if you've ever been with us when we're praying for somebody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not just because the back of your, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, or on your arms, or, you get the chill bumps. It's not about that. It's down here on the inside. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You can let that river of living water come out of you at any point and juncture. What is that? That's yielding to the Holy Spirit in your prayer life, in your prayer language. This is easy. He gives it to us, but it's our choice to walk in it. Now, it's your choice when you come up to that merging, whether you're just going to sit there. There's no stop sign. Stop signs are not yield signs. And yield signs are not stop signs. Yield means you are moving. Say, I'm moving. Say, I see Him. Say, I know Him. And I obey Him. So if he obey, that still small voice, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for not just here, they're for there. And if you learn that impulse from the Holy Spirit, write that note. Call that person. Invite that friend. Offer to pray for this one. Every time you obey that impulse of the Holy Spirit, God's able to give you more. Because why? He trusts you. So, the first thing is, yielding requires submission. That is power under control. It's coming under the will, not forced. It's not forced, right? But it's your will. You choose to put your foot on the gas and put your direction sign saying, I'm going in that direction. You see the Holy Spirit moving in a service like last week. And I sense you guys are really, really following me right now. The direction was a certain way toward the youth, was it not? Right? So you put your directionary signal on and you gave it the gas so that we could pray and minister and really, really touch our young people and the Jackson's prayer and just the worship, everything kind of like enveloped our young people to the point that, you know, that we heard some of what, you know, Abigail said she saw something, right? Right? We have been seeing manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Why? Because we're yielding. We're submitting to God. That's putting our will under. We're saying, okay, Lord, whatever you want. If he wanted something different in the service today, we would have gone that direction. Right? Because why? We see, we know, and we obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, the second thing that I want you to know about yielding, the second thing, is that we have an awareness. There's an awareness, and I'm going to use this word. We have a sensitivity. So we have that submission. We have that sensitivity to what? To the timing and the flow and the speed of what's happening. When you're on the entrance ramp, go back to the entrance ramp. If there's no cars and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, not that I've been driving recently at 2 o'clock in the morning, but if there's no cars, maybe it's super early in the morning, which usually there's always cars there, aren't there? Okay. Wrong illustration, Doug. All right. So, but let's say it's open and clear, right? Then we know that we can just kind of ease on in, right? Give it the gas and ease on in. And we go. We put our direction. Boom. Let's go. Boom. Just no hesitation. No, you don't have to worry about 18-wheel tractor trailers barreling down on you. And, you know, anybody been there? Yeah. I've been deep debt. Especially when I first moved here. I just didn't know that if you're going to drive to New York City, you should stay in the middle lane no matter what. And then I learned very quickly, stay in the middle lane. Stay in the middle lane because you don't know when. Because if you get over there and you got to go over here, you're toast. And this is before GPS was on our phones. You're going to be wandering around and driving around, trying to figure your way with a MapQuest map. And oh, aren't you glad those days are over? All right. So sometimes our yielding, not only is it that humility and submission, but it is also the sensitivity to the timing and flow of what God wants to do. Now, in the last several weeks, we've experienced some beautiful flows of the Holy Spirit. We've had singing in the Spirit. We've had singing with the understanding. We've had quietness. And in that quiet moment, the impulses of the Holy Spirit spoke to some of you. And when we offered you that platform, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you were able to bring something that brought what? A lift to the entire body. See, this is how we yield to the Holy Spirit. When we yield, we're active. We're not passive. We're not coming in, sitting and waiting for something to happen. We're coming in a part of whatever is happening, right? And that's why I do encourage you to come to prayer. Come to our prayer time, because I believe that what God is setting the stage for our church going into this fall, going into a new year, I've got my eyes I'm just thanking God that He's given fresh new vision to this church. There is fresh new energy, and it's going to happen supernaturally. It is happening even now. And so, what are we doing? We're just going to keep going with that, right? We're going to keep going with that. That's submission of not a forced thing, but I'm bringing myself. And we're bringing as a church, God, not our will, but your will. How do we connect with this community? How do we reach into this community so that people see us and know us? We know and we see and we obey the Holy Spirit. But does this community know and see us as the most encouraging church? They don't know we're here yet. So how do we do that? Supernaturally. Supernaturally yielding to the Holy Spirit. So that whole idea of sensitivity to the timing and the flow and the speed of traffic is so vital. And then the third thing that you have to have, so you have to have submission, which it involves humility, and meekness. Meekness is not weakness, by the way. Meekness is power under control. Jesus was a meek person. It was power under control. He could have called 10,000 angels when he was on the cross, but he didn't. And when he flipped over the tables, he could have done a whole lot more damage than that. So when we understand that it's power under control, we understand that we have a will in this situation. So we submit, we're sensitive to the timing, and the third thing that I want you to get is that there is activity, there is action to what is happening. We've been saying now for 2 weeks, there's assignments for this church. There's assignments for individuals in this church to step into areas and step into areas of prayer. That would be the first assignment for every one of us to pray for this community and for this church that we experience everything that God has, that there is a manifestation of the goodness of God in our midst. What does that do? That creates an anticipation of what's coming next. I can't manufacture that. I can't market that. That has to be coming from our hunger, our passion for God that says, I want to hear the impulses of the Holy Spirit more than I want to feed my flesh or my comfort. So it's action-based. It's not passive-based. It's, I'm going to give God something to work with. You're having trouble in your finances? Give God something to work with. If that's what it is, give Him something to work with. You say, well, I don't have any finances. Or maybe you don't even have control of your finances and you're watching. And maybe somebody else in your family does. Maybe you don't have a job. All those things could come into play. What would you do? Well, if somebody gives you, you know, 2 loaves of bread, can you find somebody to sew that other loaf of bread to? If somebody gives you 5 cans of beans, can you give some beans to somebody else? What are you doing? You are sowing. You're giving God something to attach His goodness to. When the little boy came to Jesus and he's going to feed the 5,000, he came with the fish. Not enough. So whatever you come to bring to God, it's not enough to meet the need. So, it's a sensitivity. It's a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. It's a sensitivity, but it's an action. It's an action that says yes. It's an action that says, I'm showing up to church and I'm expecting God to move. And if nobody else comes, I'm going to be there. One of the most profound times in my early Christian walk was going to a Bible study that normally had 50, 60 kids on Saturday night. One night, there were only like 10 of us. And it was unusual. It was a summer night. And it was unusual because kids were out of school. And we thought, man, is everybody on vacation? What in the world's going on here? And the regulars among us, we were kind of depressed. We were kind of like, wow, there's only 10 of us here. Because we were getting excited because every week there would be more and more kids coming to this Bible study. And, I mean, they're sitting on tables and chairs and we're believing God for pianos and folding chairs in the house, right? believe in God for instruments and praise and worship and having pre-Bible study prayer, intercessor. I've told you these things. And I'm not trying to repeat just old stories for sake of old stories. What I'm trying to say to you, though, is that sometimes we take our expectation of what God's doing based on our circumstance. Come on, church. We can't do that. You can't base your expectation based on the circumstance of who's there and who's not there. So that particular night, Mr. Kaiser, the friendly Bible agent, FBI agent that he was, he had his guitar, and he started singing a couple songs, and I will never forget the presence of God that fell in that place. And at one point, the 10 of us literally were weeping, crying on the floor before God, and he supernaturally demonstrated and visited us. And during those moments, those are the things that I will never forget. But what did it take? It took us forgetting, and remember the old song we used to sing in charismatic circles? We don't sing these songs too much anymore, but forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, for Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the kind of song we would be singing. Yes, he's all my righteousness. Yes, I'm complete in him. Right? What were we doing? We're giving God something to work with. We're submitting. We're merging. We're yielding into the plan of God. Why? We're just giving him something to work with. We're giving him something to work with. Giving him something to work with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Giving him something to work with. And that requires us to be humble and know that it's all about him, not about us. It requires us to say, not my will, but yours. It requires us to be sensitive to everything that's going on around us. Sensitive. Lord, do you want me to do this? Lord, what would you like me to say? Lord, are you speaking right now to me? And then action. If you are speaking to me, then give me the boldness to say it. Whew. Yielding. 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 Whew. The impulses of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it again. Romans 8. So then, beloved ones, flesh has no claims on us at all. And we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But that's not us, church. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we taste his abundant life. The mature children of God, that's us, church. We're moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Put the gas on, church. And when you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading back into fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance. Hallelujah. Enfolding you into the family of God, and you'll never fear orphaned. You'll never fear orphan, for he rises up within us. Our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our inmost being, you are God's beloved child. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You've taught us. You're teaching us. You're teaching us to yield to the Holy Spirit. That still small voice. To be humble is to put put our power under. To put our thoughts, our ideas, our suggestions, our opinions, our attitudes, our mindsets under you. Because you're Lord. Our mind, will, and emotions come under you. Because, Father, your word tells us in Romans 12 to present ourselves, all of us, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, Father. It's our reasonable worship to you, to offer ourselves, to be renewed by your word, to change our thinking, to be in line with you, and saying no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. So, Father, we as a church, we value, we listen. We know, we see, we obey, we see, we know, we obey, we see, we know, we obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we consecrate ourselves. God, you've got an assignment for this church, a divine destiny that will be lost if we don't. And so, Father, I know we are. That we are submitted. We are committed. We are consecrated to you to yield, to give it the gas. Put that indicator on. We're in for you, God. We are in for the direction you have for us. We're in for that. We're in for the direction that you are calling us to. And Father, I thank you that you're opening the pathways, and you're giving us the space, and you're giving us the speed, and you're giving us the openness to get in line for that right spot now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for ministering to your people about yielding. And Father, I pray if there be anybody who does not know you, and if there is anybody who's been away from you but needs to come back in line and let you be Lord, Father, I pray, God, that you would just meet them right where they are. Fully accepted as a beloved child of God, Lord, as they come home. Father, back to you. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that, even now, for those that are watching, for those that are here. Father, if there be anybody who does not know you or is coming back to you, Lord, we want to pray together as a church. We want to see them accepted back into your family. And so right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps you've been away from him, I want to give you an opportunity to come back to him, to come to him. If that's you, raise up your hand if there's anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, thank you, Jesus. Yes, I see. Thank you. Let's just all pray together right now. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is. He's the Son of God. He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead. And right now, I yield to his love. I yield to his forgiveness. I receive it. And I thank you that I can call you Father God, because Jesus is Lord of my life. I confess him as my Lord and Savior right now in the name of Jesus. If that was you, please message us or talk to us. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. I want to minister to you. The power of God is available to us when we take our power, our will, and we put it under his. We'll get in the flow of traffic like you've never seen before. Our lives will be exactly what God wants them to be. Amen? Praise God forevermore. Let's stand our feet as we have our sending out verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God is supernaturally speaking to our church. I do believe that. And I believe every time we come together, whether online or in person, we need to have that expectation, like the watchman on the wall waiting for the dawn. We are excited to see that light come. Amen. Yep. Praise God. Let's have our sending out verse right now. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Next week's Father's Day, we will be recognizing our fathers and giving them a special gift, praying for them. We'll see you next week, and we'll see you this Wednesday on Foundations Live.